Amanda loves 70s boogie. And he's a big fan of Three Dog Night.
What is the loneliest number?
When he takes over the world, the first thing he'll do is make him reunite. Zartan sits up late and wonders,
I wonder, who
is the real me? And in the end, do I really have any friends? Love me for being Zartan, love me for being me.
Destro, Destro in the Baroness, Destro in the Baroness, Frankus in the Baroness, Destro in the Baroness.
Welcome to Jill's Movies and Junk. I'm Notorious J.I.M.
And I'm Julian.
And we have two reviews for you today. The first one is Temptation, The Confession of a Marriage Counselor, and G.I. Joe Retaliation. Okay, I'm going to jump into the first review of Temptation, a Tyler Perry movie.
And why did you see this? Did you think it was a movie about the Temptations? And you're like, oh shit, I got to see this.
I admit, I was actually kind of forced to see this film. When you're in a relationship with someone, you have to do things you don't want to do, like see movies you don't want to see. And
I don't think you have to tell anybody that.
I'm bringing that up because this movie is geared towards relationships, and it's supposed to have a moral story. It's supposed to teach you things about your relationship and make you question it and all this other bullshit that they're selling it on. And Tyler Perry says it's his best work ever. This is most powerful work ever. So, look at that laugh. I didn't even get into it yet.
It just seems ridiculous.
He's really loving it. He's really said it's going to make you question your relationship. And after bringing up dating someone and being forced to see this movie, at the end of it, it did have an effect on me and my relationship, which we had to talk about the movie and discuss it and all that jazz.
Oh, I thought the idea of being forced to watch a Tyler Perry movie made you question your relationship.
At one point, I was thinking about breaking up with her. I'm like, look, I can't take this. Let's just be friends.
Yeah.
Just walk out.
Thanks a lot, Tyler Perry.
Thanks, Tyler Perry. Ruined everything. Everything was going fine until you came along.
Were you trying to ruin relationships? Because that's what you did.
Yeah. So, get into this movie. I have to watch the movie. She knows I do this show. So, she knew the repercussions of it. So, that's all they can say. If you were warned before I fucking did this show, what's going to happen?
Yes. Do it.
All right, so we go watch the movie. We're sitting down together. We're doing a couple stuff. Everyone seems excited. Now, everyone has an idea of what a Tyler Perry crowd is. It's mostly just black people. But
I wouldn't even say mostly black people. I would say black women.
Black women. Mostly just black women.
Probably church-going.
Yeah, church-going black women.
Or who want to see things about relationships.
Yeah.
Who are into that kind of, like, I don't know, like, girls doing it for themselves type shit.
Yeah.
They probably listen to, like, Beyonce CDs on the way.
Yeah, listen to all the single ladies while Beyonce's married.
Yeah. Talking about how she don't need a man.
Yeah.
What a hypocrite.
Like, she's like, well, I meant by all the single ladies, I meant you guys.
Yeah. Not me. Clearly, I'm doing just fine. But, you know, for you regular people, I feel like that's probably what she would say.
Yeah, until y'all can find your own Jay-Z's, here's something to make you feel better. All right, let's jump into the movie. So, when I get there, the experience was there's a lot of different types of people, but mostly different women. There were, you know, of all races, but mostly they had a lot of black women there. And that's who he's targeted. That's his target audience. And there were a lot of dudes brought there by their women. A lot of dudes.
It just a lot of, like, hands, or heads and hands, and,
yeah,
like, oh, guys. And
yeah, so my experience does not just reflect the movie. It reflects the people in the audience as well.
Did you walk by, like, a guy and his girl, and the guy, like, gave you a nod, like, yeah, you're here too?
We had some moments, and then at one point, all the guys united, but I'll tell you about that later.
Oh, man.
And the movie starts off, the whole premise of it is based upon a play he did before. I've seen the play, you know, for whatever reasons I saw the play. I have no idea why. Jeez. But I've seen the play.
Did you see it legit or was it bootleg?
It was bootleg.
Of course.
It's always bootleg. How is he fucking rich? I mean,
I don't know. With all the bootlegs of his shit going around,
I've never saw like an actual fucking like
DVD
on Madea. It's just been like just bootlegs.
Somebody's buying them.
Yeah, it's always a dude on the street. Hey man, I got the new Madea.
It's like, I'll be all right, dude.
Yeah, I'm fine. I have internet.
Yeah, I can do what you're doing.
Yeah,
but not outside of a grocery store.
Yeah, I just choose not to. I do it for my own benefit.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the movie starts off. It's about a marriage counselor. Before she was a marriage counselor, where she was just simply a therapist with a master's degree, making shitty mistakes and ruining her marriage. So, story starts off. We'll go scene by scene. Starts off with a marriage counselor talking to this couple. And the first scene in the movie is funny. It immediately turns funny. Because during the therapy session, it's like the guy turns over to his wife and says, just tell me what you want me to do. Please, I'll do it. Whatever it is, just tell me what you want me to do.
Was there a lot of guys in the audience like nodding their head like, yep?
That's the thing. He didn't give us any time. Because as soon as he said, just tell me what you want me to do, he stands up and says, you know what? I'm out of here.
Just tell me what you want. I'm out of here.
Immediately, that's what happened. Now, she didn't say anything back to him within that
exchange.
It was just like, tell me what you want me to do. You know what? I'm out of here. Just get something and walks out the room. I'm like, all right. And so, I immediately laughed because it's funny. And of course, I was the only person laughing at the time. But the lady's crying. She's upset. So, the main character, Judith, who's the therapist? She's kind of old looking. That's what I throw it out there. She's kind of old. You will never know until the end of the movie. But I'll explain that later. But so she's kind of old looking. She looks regular. And the lady's upset. She's like, you know, I have problems with him and all this stuff's happening. What should I do? And then Judith tells her, well, you've been seeing someone else, haven't you? She's like, yeah, I have. So Judith's like, well, let me tell you a story. And that's how the movie starts. The whole movie is one long-ass story about the therapist telling, like, her patient about her fuck-up.
Is she charging this lady for to be in this hour-and-a-half-long fucking session?
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck? And then, like, when it ends...
And what is her dude doing for an hour and a half?
I don't know. I'm like...
He's outside playing, like, Jetpack Joyride on his iPhone and shit?
Well, when the movie ended, I was like, man, this chick would never catch up with him. He's gone. He's fucking out of here.
He's packed his bags. He's out of...
She's like, I gotta go after him and save my marriage. She's like, no, but first, listen to his long-ass adventure.
Makes no sense. And
so, yeah, basically, the therapist won't shut the fuck up at the end of it. Because the whole story is about her life. She's telling it to her patient. And then when the movie does end...
Is it about her life, or is it about a friend of hers?
It's about her sister's. Who's her, basically. She's like, it's my sister. You know, she did some shit.
Yeah.
So, anyway, like, when this movie does end... I forgot that she was telling the story to her patient, but they go back to the current time, and the patient's like, wow, thanks for sharing it with me. I'm going to stop cheating. And she gets up and leaves. So I told you the beginning and the ending.
So you know far. What? That dude was right to fucking walk. He should have walked out on that relationship. Yeah. This broad cheating on him.
But he doesn't know that she's cheating.
He's got an idea.
He probably does, but they give him no time to flesh it out. That's the first thing that happens. It's like...
Well, it's a Tyler Perry movie. Don't you know men are evil?
Yeah, basically. There's no... And they're all perfect. You know, this movie made me question Tyler Perry's sexuality.
This one?
This one. Now, I know...
Not the Boondocks or anything like that?
You know what's funny about it? The funniest thing about it is everyone has told me, really, this movie? I'm like, I didn't watch enough of the stuff to really question his sexuality. But now, I'm like, okay. All right. I see what you're doing there, Tyler Perry.
He's directing the movie like Ed Wood. He's like on set dressed up like Madea.
Yeah. Now you gotta do this right.
You know? Take them pants off there, baby.
Hey, don't make me pull this gun out of my purse.
Jesus.
Anyway. Getting back into it. She starts to tell this patient this long-ass fucking story. How she's working at some kind of firm which helps rich people find dates.
Mm-hmm.
And she's working there as the therapist. Because that's what they need for those kind of companies. You know, a therapist.
Do they?
No. I'm clearly being a dick about it. But, yeah. So, that's what she's working as. And then, this rich guy goes by the name of Harley. he wants to invest into the company and wants to make an app for like the dating site or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And that app is known as Grindr.
Well, I can't remember his name, what the name was.
Trust me, people who are aware of that will fucking laugh their ass off.
But, you know, his thing is, he's interested in doing a deal with the company. Vanessa Williams there, works there. She's like the boss with a French accent, which is just awful.
Is it?
It's just awful.
Is it an unnecessary French accent?
Unnecessary French accent. At one point, I was like, really, are they doing this? Like, why are they doing this? Like, why is this happening? Why is she French? But later on, they find out that it's all just a big build to, like, one joke at the very end of the movie. But whatever. Kim Kardashian is there. She has no personality.
All right, so Kim Kardashian's there?
Yeah. And basically, you get a little exchange with Judith and Kim's character, in which you really realize, like, here's the thing. Like I said, there's a little bit of, like, participation by the audience. The first scene that has Kim in it, at the very beginning, where she's, like, talking to Judith, like, trying to have a little dialogue with Judith showing up to work, one guy leans over to his girlfriend in real life. One guy leans over to his girlfriend and whispers, loud enough for me to hear, she can't act.
I was going to say, is her acting better than her fucking sex tape? Where all she says is, damn, baby. Damn, Ray J.
It's about, like, the same. Just like, she says Mark Zuckerberg, and it's horrible.
You can't say a name. That's awful.
She said that she didn't have no idea who this fucking guy was or what he did, but that's what they told her to say.
He's like the next Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, that happened just like that.
Wow.
It was terrible. And her whole get up was, you know, you need to improve the way you look. You need to improve your wardrobe, do your hair and shit. So basically, she's criticizing Judith every time she comes to work. And she added nothing to the story. Nothing whatsoever. Her acting was very plain. Every time she came on screen and talked, just said regular stuff, I laughed. I tried my best not to laugh.
I don't even think she added anything to the marketing of this movie.
She added nothing to the marketing of this movie.
Because I didn't even know she was in the movie until I looked it up just now and shit.
So Judith's hanging out with fucking these fashionable people doing this dating thing for rich people, because apparently rich people can't get dates. And
which sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, so the guy, he finds Judith attractive, and when they start talking, and he has to work with Judith, like, because she's the therapist with a master's degree working at this place. He works with her to try to develop the app. So he spends time with her trying to develop the app, and he's all into her and shit. And she doesn't see it. Now, let me go into
her husband. Wait, hold on. So, the therapist of a dating place doesn't see this guy's just hitting on her when exactly. A therapist needs no...
With a master's degree.
You need no input at all from a therapist to create an app?
Yeah, see? So you see the plot holes in this, right? Like the logic, the failure to use actual logic. All right, we get to see her husband. Let me do this. Let's start over for a moment and tell you about her husband. They have been together for 19 years. They started off being kids with crushes on each other.
Well, we all start off being kids.
Yeah, except for Chuck Norris. He came out a full-grown man with a beard. But we all start off as kids. And they had big crushes on each other, and they grew over time, still in love with each other, and then eventually got married and shit. So they've been married for 6 years, but they've been together for 19. So they kind of throw you through that you know, she's been with this guy forever. This guy is awesome. Now, this guy is, like, fucking perfect for her. You know, he does everything she wants. He's buff, and at times he has to take off his shirt because, you know,
Bojo. Because Tyler Perry? Oh. Because
Tyler Perry needs to see it. You know, Tyler Perry wants to see his chest and his amazing six-pack. Because there's no fat people in this world. There's no fat people in Tyler Perry's world. He's, like, the fattest person in his fucking world.
As Madea?
Yeah. Every dude is perfect. Every chick is, like, kind of flawed, but perfect dudes want them anyway. I don't know, it's just a lot of, you know what, you know, another thing, in this movie, he spends more time zooming up on the dudes, like, how they look, than Kim Kardashian in a tight dress. It's just like, women are just ignored in this fucking film.
Like, I understand that he realizes his audience is all women, so he's gonna give something for women to see.
Yeah.
But there's gotta come a point where, I don't know, I feel like Magic Mike was like, hey, there's going to be a lot of dudes dancing.
Put their story and shit for you, too.
Yeah. And when they're not dancing, we're not going to fucking portray these dudes as fucking, look at these abs and shit.
Yeah, everybody's perfect. Her husband's perfect. He wants to do everything she wants to do. But he has this weird dream of his biggest goal, his lifelong goal, was to work at a pharmacy. And eventually run that pharmacy.
Like a CVS?
Yeah.
Wow, this guy wasn't really shooting for the stars.
That's his lifelong goal. That's all he wants to do is run a pharmacy.
Look, baby, my biggest goal is to own an Xbox. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm saving up. I'm going to get another job. just regular ass fucking ideas.
So he's working at a pharmacy and shit. And, you know, that's his goal, whatever, right? She's with him. She's working as a therapist. Harley comes along. He's working with her. He's doing stuff with her. And then eventually, I'm skipping a lot because I don't want to spend too much time in this film. Mm-hmm. Besides throwing out a lot of the goofy stuff. Eventually, he decides to hit on her when he finds out she's married and shit. And she kind of like doesn't see it until he finds out that she's been with the same person for 19 years. And he's like, well, you've only slept with one person. How come you haven't slept with anyone else? She's like, I've just been with him for 19 years. I don't want to be with anyone else. So he starts throwing game at her. Like, basically, he immediately goes from, like, I'm interested in business to, like, I want to fuck you now.
Yeah.
So he switches to, like, I'm going to try to get some pussy out of this. Your man ain't shit. You know, basically what he does. He goes to that. And it gets all turned on. So she goes home and tries to have sex with her husband. Like, she just walks into the room and just, like, the kitchen and just grabs him, starts kissing him and saying all the stuff she wants him to do. And it's like she just attacks him. Basically, it makes no sense to what she. It was for comedy, but it just did not play off. It was just very ridiculous. And there's a lot of guys looking at each other like, "Are you fucking serious, dude?" And like, we're just looking around. And there was also times that had weird comedy like that, which like her husband tried to take her out to dinner.
Was it supposed to be comedy, or did you read it as comedy? Are you sure he?
I read it as comedy because it was too out there. I think the problem with this movie. Is Tyler Perry's been catering to the same audience over and over again with minstrel show kind of shit.
Jesus Christ.
For a while.
That's a hell of a fucking... That's a hell of a thing to put on somebody.
He has. He's been doing it for so long.
Bamboozled wasn't even as big of a minstrel show as Tyler Perry's bullshit.
So, he's been doing it for so long. That, you know, now he's making a movie that appears to a broader audience, not just blacks.
Not just an audience of broads?
Yeah. Well, it does appear to an audience of broads. Because, we're sexist. We're talking about minstrel shows on this show.
I played Bioshock Infinite. I think I know what's going on.
So, he throws out that weird kind of, like, wild, ghetto, crazy comedy. He does that sometimes in some of his movies. And this movie, he's appearing to a bigger audience. And it's done in a certain way where it doesn't fit in. Because there's one point where she's with her husband. And she's leaving, like, a dinner because he took her out for her birthday or whatever. Mm-hmm. First, he forgot her birthday, actually. Like, two times in a row. That's, like, the only thing he did wrong. The entire relationship, this is the only thing he did wrong was forget her birthday.
In fucking 19-plus years.
Yeah, he forgot her birthday two times in a row. So he does take her out at one point. And, some dude was like, damn, that bitch fine. And like when they say that, she goes super ghetto. She's like, don't you talk to me like that. She starts shaking her head and like getting all wild and loud. She's
kicking off her shoes and taking off earrings.
And it's like she's like yelling. She almost, like she's doing a rapid fire just insult shit that I can't even do because I'm not a sister. But, you know, as an Asian man, I cannot do that.
Yeah.
But
I've only seen it on TV.
Yeah. That's all I know.
As an Eastern European man, I've only seen it on your American TV.
So she goes to this, you know, stereotypical black woman, like, rave on this dude.
And pulls out glow sticks.
Yeah. And I'm like, where does this fit with this character? She was not like this. She was not like this the entire movie. This one scene happens. She loses her mind. He has to put her in the truck. And I think Tyler Perry did that. To get comedy, get a laugh. Like, oh, well, she get wild sometimes in ghetto as she needs to.
Or do you think he was trying to appeal to what he sees as his audience?
Yeah, that's what I think. I think he's done it so many times before that even though he's trying something different and he wants it to be a really good movie, he feels he needs to appeal to that audience. And he threw that shit in there. He threw that shit in there. And it's just like, it killed the mood and no one laughed.
It was almost like you should have... What you should do, or what somebody should do, is film the audience they're with when they're watching a Tyler Perry movie.
Yeah.
When shit like this happens, and then send it to Tyler Perry. And be like, look, the audience doesn't give a fuck about this.
Yeah.
This shit that you think is just so fucking cool. Nobody cares.
Sometimes he does this throughout the movie, like randomly. And the movie doesn't have that feel like a regular Tyler Perry movie. So, when he does resort to his Tyler Perry ways and shit, it's like the crowd was no-selling it. It was like...
boo! They were just booing him.
They weren't even booing him. It was like no reaction. The worst thing ever is to want to tell an elaborate, like, kind of like... do an elaborate kind of joke thing and no one sells it. It's just quiet. And then you hear guys just sighing.
Did you hear that?
I heard a lot.
Oh, man.
Guys are just sighing, dude. We're just all sighing. And I'm trying not to be a dick because, you know, my girl's into it. She's really enjoying it. And I'm like, I don't want to just sit here next to her and just criticize the fucking movie. Right?
I don't want to have to put up with this car ride home where I'm just like, yeah, it was all right.
It actually caused a little mini argument. This movie actually caused a little mini argument between me and her because she was like, well, the story was trying to say this. About like, I'm like, well, it wasn't done right or anything.
Yeah.
It wasn't done well at all. But I'm going to continue. Basically, her husband's awesome. He's fucking awesome. Everything that she wants, he'll do. When he does forget her birthday and she doesn't want to go out anymore, she's upset about it. He shows up in his underwear because he's all buff and shit. And he plays the guitar and wears a cowboy hat. And, you know, he's always trying to make her smile. He's all about it. He loves the fuck out of her. But now, Captain McDouche threw out the idea that, well, your husband ain't shit if you only got fucked missionary style, probably.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could do all this other stuff to you and blah, blah. And she's like, I shouldn't be doing this. No, this is wrong. Yes, I'm married and blah, blah. But she'll go out there and try to find him. To try, like, you know. She put herself in situations where she knows he's going to be at. She'll show up there, dressed sexy, and when he shows up and starts hitting her, she's like, well, I can't be with you, and I'm married. It's a lot of that bullshit of why she's doing this. And there wasn't enough of a reason for her to do it. I couldn't really actually find a reason for her to do it. In fact, you know, it's obligating the contract that to show Tyler Perry the chest.
Mm-hmm.
So
Tyler Perry's got to oil them up between scenes, yeah, and shit.
So, I'm not gay, but if I was, I think her husband looks better. Totally better.
Jesus.
I'm just saying, he's a big buff dude. You know, I don't think I can take him in a fight.
I would. It's a street fight. Like, hit that dude with a fucking stick or something.
Well, he is nice. He probably wouldn't do anything back.
Hey, come on, man. Like,
he'd probably try to reason with you. But the whole deal is like,
you'd look into his eyes and he'd charm you and shit like that.
Whole thing is, he's gentle. They set up like little things, like to compare the dudes together.
Mm-hmm.
Like where the guys are saying stuff to her and stuff, and she gets mad and he takes her away. She gets all upset about that. It's like, what are you supposed to do? Fight three guys for saying she's a fine bitch?
Mm-hmm.
And later on,
to be fair, baby, you are fine.
Yeah. Then later on, you know, Harley is running with her and she runs off past him, and some dude riding his bike runs into her accident. She kind of runs into the dude, really.
Yeah.
And knocks him down. And she falls and holds her knee, Peter Griffin style. And like Harley grabs the poor innocent dude in his biker shorts and like, you know, apologize to her, about to beat him up and shit. It's like, it's over excessive. I'm like, dude, it's clearly an accident. She has to calm him down, but that turns her on because, you know, her husband didn't want to fight three guys over her, but Harley's willing to punch a biker.
Yeah. He's willing to punch some IT guy.
Yeah.
He's willing to beat up some nerdy college student on a bike.
Yeah. I already spent too much time with this movie. I need to fast forward through it. Just run through it. But basically, over time, it's a lot of, I don't want to cheat on my husband, even though he hasn't done anything wrong to make me want to cheat on him. But I don't want this guy to lose interest in me as well. And he has money and shit. So she starts like really being around him. He starts saying stuff to her like, man, why are you with your husband? I bet he's boring. He ain't worth shit. I can't see you two being together for long. I'm like, they've been together for 19 years.
Yeah, I would say that's quite a period of time.
And she had told him that already. So it kind of makes even less sense that happens. But eventually over time, she decides she doesn't want to be around him anymore. She gets sent on a business meeting with him where she has to ride a plane to like go to different places to like promote.
Mm-hmm.
And even though she just doesn't feel comfortable with him coming on to her like that, she decides to give it Kim Kardashian to go shopping and get like a sexy dress and a makeup to go see him.
Mm-hmm.
So she can ride his plane to turn him down. And
God.
And eventually he just rapes her.
What the hell is...
Just race on the plane. You can't go nowhere. You're on the fucking plane.
Yeah, but then you're hanging out with your rape victim for the rest of the plane ride. Unless you have your timing down so perfect that, like, when you come just as soon as you land, yeah, and you can run away or something like that.
Well, basically, he, it's a conflicting sex scene because he starts touching her. She's like, no, stop. He starts forcing himself on her. And she's like, stop it, stop it. And then, like, he starts kissing her anyway. And then later on, you show them, like, riding the car together. She's crying.
Mm.
And she's like,
Jesus Christ. This sounds terrible.
And she's like, I never want to see you again, shit. And,
was anybody else in the audience like, this motherfucker just raped this broad? Like,
well, I was laughing. There's one guy who was more excited about this movie than his wife. He was like, oh, he raped her. He was into it. He was seriously into this movie. But there are scenes, just to skip ahead, there's a scene in which all the guys united. In which it was so stupid, all the dudes in the crowd laughed. It was like you had nothing but male laughter. Like out loud. Like a male
chorus.
Yeah, chorus, just laughter. It was just ridiculous. But anyway, he rapes her.
Well, why did everybody laugh?
I forgot what it was. It was something that wasn't even funny. It was just so stupid. So he drops her off at her house. Her husband comes home. He's like, hey, what's going on and shit? And, you know, she can't just say, I just got raped and shit. But, you know, he shakes hands with the dude to go about his business. His husband doesn't suspect anything because, you know, he's a good guy. He's like, I've been with her for 19 years. She wouldn't do anything wrong.
I mean, technically, she didn't do anything wrong. Well, like, when it comes to rape.
Well, this already sold it.
That's not her fault.
No, this already sold it. Oh, they sold it as a rape at the beginning. And she's upset about it. And then she goes to work. And she sees the dude there. Because she told him she didn't want anything to do with him to leave her alone. Mm-hmm. She sees the dude there. He doesn't like interact with her. He's just somewhere else talking to like the boss, talking to Vanessa Williams. And she can't pay attention to her client. So, later on that night, she's hanging out with her husband. She gets a phone call from him, so she answers the phone. And immediately she goes into, I can't believe you didn't call me and all this stuff. Like, you can't talk to me anymore. You have sex with me and not call me. He's like, but you told me to stay away. Here's the problem with that. She told him not to call and stay away from him. But she's mad because he didn't call.
But it was a rape.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, you told me to stay away and leave you alone. That's why I avoided you. But he called her. And then it ends up being a situation of they kind of flash back and they showed that during the sex she was crying. Like she had tears coming down, but she was enjoying it and kind of like getting into it too.
What the fuck?
So it was a weird thing. And with them on the phone, she's all like, he's like, where's your husband at? He's like, he's in there watching the game. He's like, put him on the phone. And she obviously doesn't do it. I thought she would have because it's a Todd Perry movie. And so yeah. Far, she's lacking.
I got to be honest with you. I thought we were about to get into that. That's why I laughed. Oh, yeah, my God.
But she doesn't. And he was like, I bet he doesn't make love like you. And she's like, no one makes love as good as you. Like, he just raped you. But whatever. I guess that's their way of doing the whole thing. But whatever. But anyway, she sneaks out. She sneaks with him a couple of times throughout the movie. And they're all like, she's all like about him and him spending money on her. He's running game on her. He's running obvious game that therapists would actually figure out.
But or at least you would hope.
Yeah, at least you would hope. But she's not fucking getting it. And then she comes home after doing cocaine with him.
God.
And her mom lives with her around this time. Her mom moves in. Her mom was like a minister.
Yeah.
So her mom's like jeezing up the joint. Like really jeezing up the joint. Taking her to work home with her, right?
Yeah.
So, she doesn't like the fact her daughter comes home all dressed up sexy with cocaine nose. And her husband's not really getting it, but he started to realize something's wrong and things aren't right. And she just turns to a total bitch. And then eventually over time, she's like, you know, after sleeping with Harley for a long time, he's like, you gotta leave your husband. And she just does it. I'm skipping ahead a lot. There's a lot of stuff that happens that's ridiculous. Like, I could point out countless scenes of ridiculous stuff. Like,
well, let's hear some, because I feel like this review is getting a little too boring.
Bryce, when he finds out his wife's been cheating, he's at his pharmacy.
Oh.
And he can't break anything. He's just hanging out. So he breaks a pencil.
Or maybe he's just so much of a nice guy that he's like, I don't really want to mess anything up.
Yeah, Brandy's character, I don't know her name, but the musical artist Brandy is in the movie.
The Boy Is Mine, Brandy?
Yeah. Yeah, let Monica know.
Yeah.
Moesha's in the movie, and what's going on with her is...
Oh, man, do you think that's awkward for her and her brother Ray J to see Kim Kardashian in the same movie?
Maybe, but she doesn't have to actually deal with...
They don't interact?
No, because Kim is a one-dimensional character. She's only there to tell Judith that her shoes aren't matching right and shit. Bryce breaks the pencil because he's upset, so upset. Judith comes home and brings up her dad with her mom. She says, "Dad's still alive. You say he's dead and stuff. I know what happened. He said you left him for the church and all this other bullshit. And he's never brought up ever again. It's just for that one moment." Also, when she gets to the argument with Harley, she's like, "I know your dad was a crackhead and all this other stuff."
What?
Which is brought up at that moment and never brought up ever again.
How does she even know? Like, did he sell it? Like, yes, my dad really was a crackhead.
He got upset, so you go.
Or was it just shit talk?
It sounded like she knew that, like, as if he told her that. Mm-hmm. But they didn't put like any sympathy into him, except for like the idea of like he was with some chick he was into for a long time. He loved her, and then she left him. So they didn't really build him up to be any kind of really multi-dimensional character, other than he's rich, basically. So. Over time, she just spirals. She's all with Harley, and he decides to make her, I guess, take her on as, like, to open up her own firm and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. So she ends up quitting her job, which leads to the joke with Vanessa Williams speaking French. Well, having a French accent, because it's revealed she's only spent 2 weeks in France, and now she speaks with a French accent.
Stupid.
And, you know, it's just ridiculous. Part you wanted to hear about. Brandy, when she's introduced into the movie, she starts working at Bryce, her husband's
pharmacy
that he works at. And they do have that scene when she goes home with a baseball bat, looks around to see if anyone's there. And you're like, well, I guess she's in distress. But then they do a good job of feminists. But whatever. Eventually you find out her ex has been looking for her because he's all like stalking her and shit and obsessed with her. And she doesn't really do much. She just becomes Bryce's friend. But eventually, over time, Bryce does figure out Judith's cheating on him. She goes to the club. He goes to the club to get her out the club. Which is like is Tyler Perry's idea of what a CD club is. Because this shit kind of fucking looks like the cantina from Star Wars. Just a lot of shit happening. And you don't know what's going on. It's like tattooed dudes with their shirts off, walking around. It's like, dude, it clearly looks like he's a junkie. And it's like, why are you all in this one club and no one's dancing? And it's just ridiculous. Like, it looks so fucking ridiculous. It's garbage. But he goes, he gets her, pulls her out, and tells her he'll take her back and forget all this stuff ever happened.
Does Bryce even give a reason why he would even want her back?
He's been with her for 19 years. He still loves her. He knows it's not her.
But after all this shit, like, I don't know. Like, what would be the point of him wanting her back?
It's just love and shit. And it really just to show that he's really a good man and she's fucking stuff up. But she says she turns him down, goes back in the club with Harley. He gets in his car, slams his door, which breaks his mirror and his glass, like it's a window. Because they have a thing with breaking glass in this movie. Because later on, when he's with Brandy and they're hanging out and stuff, he finds out that Brandy has AIDS.
Why?
Because she got it from Harley.
Oh my God. Stupid.
So he goes to the mansion, because by this time Harley starts beating Judith, because that's the most logical thing to do, because his ears geared towards women and you gotta have a woman beater in it.
Do you? I feel like Tyler Perry has to have a woman beater in his
movie. This movie feels like a full-blown, big-budget Lifetime film.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, like, basically, he's mad because they go back to her place to get her laptop. That's all she needs. And her mom's there with her church people and shit, and they're, like, praying and, like...
They're having, like, a ritual and shit?
Yeah.
They're having, like, a seance.
Umgada. I don't know, just whatever.
Cast off Harley.
So they have this like ritual thing happening. And she shows up to get her laptop. Her mom's trying to stop her from leaving. Harley pushes her down.
So her mom's been living with Bryce this whole time?
No, her mom moves in like, kind of in the middle of the movie.
Yeah, but after she leaves.
She's just has been still living with Bryce.
That's weird.
That is weird. But, you know. So Hardy pushes her down, hurts her knee. You know, it runs in the family.
They genetically have bad knees.
Yeah.
It's passed down generation to generation.
So she's mad about it. And then Hardy just grabs her and like, we're leaving. And so they get back to their place. And he's all like, I hate the fact you chose your mom's side over me. All this other stuff. She's like, you know what? Maybe because your dad's a crackhead or whatever. Or your parents are crackheads. You don't know how to act or whatever. So he slaps her. And he starts beating. The day on, you find her in the tub, all beat the fuck up.
Jesus.
But around this time, Bryce goes to the mansion or his place, whatever. Kicks the door wide open. Finds her all beat up and like finds Harley on like laying on her bed, all fucking, I guess, drugged out or whatever. Mm-hmm. He takes her away and puts her in his car, or his truck, with Brandy to kind of like take care of her. Goes back in and tackles Harley. Like he picks him up and like tackles him through a window. Here's the thing, the window was inside the house. It was a big window to the next room. I don't know why it's a big window to the next room, but there is. So he tackles him through this glass window, and they land in the next room. And then Brandy comes and breaks it up. Now Brandy comes from the room they went into. Tackles. So I have no idea how she knew they were going to end up in that room, and not the bedroom. Because, you know, she knows where he lives. I would think she would have went to his bedroom first. But nah, she went to the living room or whatever.
Maybe she heard a noise?
Maybe she comes immediately after they hit the ground. So she was already in the house.
I don't know.
It was just like not really fleshed out. And the end of the story is she dotted her husband, who was really nice to her, who just wanted to work at a pharmacy. Now she got AIDS and she has to go to that pharmacy to get her medicine.
Oh, the irony.
Which he's now the owner of. So, and basically the story ends with her finishing up the story and then like the lady being like, well, that was a nice story you shared with me. Thanks for sharing that. I'm going to stop cheating. And she gets up and leaves. And she goes to get her AIDS medicine from Bryce, who now, at that convenient moment while she's there, has his wife and kids to show up to show that he moved on as kid and wife.
Did he good?
And Brandy still works there. Yeah. And then the movie just ends with her walking off. They're supposed to be old. You didn't realize not to have old makeup, but like how she doesn't look exactly the same. Now she walks all slow and stupid and shit.
Because of the knee?
Maybe that's what it was. But the movie is just, it has so many ridiculous moments and like decisions she make. I cannot, like as a guy, I cannot feel sorry for her for ending up with AIDS like in the movie. Because, or even getting beat for that matter. Because I just can't see the idea of cheating on this guy who's the perfect dude. The perfect dude. And if I took anything from this movie, I took that no matter what you do, as a man,
everybody got AIDS and shit.
Everybody got AIDS and shit. And no matter, yeah, everybody sleep with the same people, because apparently Brandy, who said she's been trying to avoid her boyfriend for like forever, just having to live in the same city with him. And like everybody, no matter what you do, as a man, no matter how perfect you are, women are going to cheat on you anyway, just because. And none of them made sense. I had one guy in the audience, he leans over to his girlfriend and says, she's a terrible marriage counselor.
Yeah, she really is, now that I think about it. I forgot all about the damn marriage counselor aspect.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta understand, no matter what they do in this film, I'm always currently seeing it as she's a therapist, now a marriage counselor. And she puts zero effort into like actually trying to fix her own marriage. So anyway, two. Because at the end of the day, he should have fleshed out the movie a lot better. It's not complete ass, but it's a little smelly. All right, let's jump into G.I. Joe. The biggest problem with G.I. Joe is they made a film in which they wanted to say fuck you to the original, but they still used stuff for the original. And the way it hurt them the most is they didn't want Channing Tatum in the movie because he links to the original. So that big fuck you to the originals to kill him off. And then he became a star. And then they had to find a way to actually use him more in the movie. Because it cannot change the whole fact that the whole movie is based upon his character's death. That really, really hurt the film. Well, the movie starts off with them doing a mission or two. And you get the idea that Channing Tatum's character, Duke, and The Rock's character, Roadblock, are actually pretty cool friends. They hang out at each other's houses and stuff. And Duke knows their knows Roadblock's family. And you get a little bit of funny comedic moments between the two, which is, I think, came from 21 Jump Street. They actually brought back in and said, hey, 21 Jump Street, just play that character in this movie. So the character changes into like a more funny character than he was in the first movie. Also, they acknowledged that Cobra Commander and Destro have been caught. And they kind of mentioned what happened to not really everyone. They kind of mentioned that Duke got promoted to, like, you know, Commander.
Mm-hmm.
And little stuff like that they mentioned from the movie, that the base of the first movie happened. But now they've changed so much to try to stray away from it. G.I. Joes, instead of being a top secret army, they're well known now by everybody. It's like out in the open. They're basically SEAL Team 6. And instead of having like the underground base and everything, they're just regular base. And they flesh out Duke to be a cool character, that him and The Rock actually have like a buddy-buddy thing going on. And then they fucking kill him off. And once they kill him off with a big attack from Zartan, he does a strike on G.I. Joe's because he's now the president. Basically, they kidnap the president. He's posed as the president.
Well, that was at the end of the first one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're actually doing this. They're actually like referencing the first one, but not wanting to put too much into it. Things are totally different, but stuff that happened in the first one happened. And now that he's president, he does a strike on the G.I. Joe's. You see that they set up a mission to frame the G.I. Joe's. So there's only three left, which is Roadblock, Flint, and Lady Jane.
Flint's in the movie?
Flint's in the movie. He's the most uninteresting character in the fucking world. He does nothing that's interesting at all.
Who plays Flint?
I don't even know. I didn't even bother.
Those can't be the only Joes. Where's Snake Eyes at?
Snake Eyes is not even in the movie. He's in the movie, but he's not even with them. He's doing other stuff, which is fucking cool, but I'll get to that later. So, a big attack. All the Joes are killed. Duke saves Flint, the most uninteresting character in the movie.
Wait, do they show any of the other Joes, like, die? Like, do you get an idea, hey, it's Spirit and Quick Kick or
no, they didn't do all that. They didn't put that much into, like, you're thinking about an actual G.I. Joe movie, which they try.
Are there trouble bubbles?
There's, no.
Damn. I know there's his tanks.
Yeah, but, you know, whatever. Like, the deal is...
Well, the idea that they have a regular base isn't that out of the open. Because in the cartoon, their base of operations was the USS flag. That big aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
So, well, that's not that weird.
Well, I don't think it's weird that they have a regular base. I'm just saying that they're trying to branch it into the original so much, but they're changing so much about it. It's like, it's unlike Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance, where they're like, yes, this is a sequel. We use the same actor. But they do their own little, like, opening to, like, show how things were slightly different, or wrap it up and then do their thing.
Mm.
Or, like, The Incredible Hulk, which they do their thing to explain what happened and then continue. It's not like that. It's, like, basically, it's a sequel. That stuff happened. But fuck all that. We're just going to do whatever we want.
I think I'm fine with that.
Yeah, but so it's kind of... I'm not bashing it for it, but... It's continuity errors. I guess, or issues, but I gotta get past it because the ninja shit's cool. I'll get to that later. So, they're fucked and they kind of wander around doing shit, like trying to figure out what they're gonna do next, because just those three. They go to the hood, in which they have a supercomputer there, in which they can, like, figure out who, the president may not be the president. And they want to get a sample of his DNA to see if he is or not. While that's happened, Snake Eyes is training with Blind Master, who's played by the RZA. And, you know, he's hanging out with Jinx, and they're going to find Storm Shadow, who's just alive, even though he fell down like a pit and shit. He's just alive. It's never mentioned. And, before they actually tell you where Snake Eyes is, you find out Cobra Commander and Destro are actually being held on a base by Cletus Van Damme. And
or Venus Van Damme.
Or Venus Van Damme, depending on which show you watch. So they bring in Snake Eyes.
Does he play a character?
In the movie?
Yeah, like, is he named somebody? Like, is he General Hawk or something?
No, he's just...
Oh, no, General Hawk was in the first one.
No, he's just kind of just a regular guy who runs this place. Oh. And in the place, it's like, if you go there...
That sucks.
Yeah, if you put there, in that place, like, they put you inside this little tank. and it puts you in a suit to keep you alive, but it's kind of like it paralyzes all your muscles where your heart and your eyes are working.
So you're like in stasis?
Yeah, stasis, where you can see what's happening, understand what's happening, but you can't do anything. So they bring in Snake Eyes. They're like, you've been charged with killing such and such, and blah, blah. And they strip him down, take off his mask. It's fucking Storm Shadow. That's how he's introduced as being alive. And they're like, well, you're not Snake Eyes, but you're Storm Shadow, so you'll do. They kind of make me wonder, why do you dress up as Snake Eyes in the first place? If his plan was to sneak in, to get in this place, to get thrown in on purpose to like break them out, why does he show up as Storm Shadow?
So who do you think would have should have been in there instead? Zartarina?
What
is it? Zartana? Zartan's sister? Who's also a master of disguise?
Well, they didn't have her in the story.
No, I'm saying, would you have rather had her in there to sneak in and break them out?
Well, I just would have liked Storm Shadow just to walk in there and just fucking
fight.
But basically, Storm Shadow's a criminal anyway. He's a cobra. He's in trouble for the shit that happened, the first one. They threw him in anyway because of who he was. Yeah. So they felt like he shouldn't never have dressed up if they're going to just throw him in anyway because he's a fucking bad guy. You know? So anyway, they do terrible searches and like strip searches and all for him. Because when they put him in a tank, he breaks out, starts throwing ninja stars out of nowhere. I'm like,
does he still have his costume and shit?
No, they put him in, they change his clothes off, so you don't have no idea where he hit those ninja stars, but he fucking got them.
In nature's pocket?
Maybe. So they put him in a tank, he breaks out of the tank, starts throwing ninja stars, killing everyone. Firefly is the one that breaks him out of the tank, played by Ray Stevenson. Hmm. And he's fun to watch. And
does Firefly wear the mask and everything?
No, but he has some kind of like scar on his face. It's kind of like a hornet.
Like a burn?
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. And he has little mini wasps and stuff that he sends out. They explode.
Yeah.
So, oh, that's pretty cool. And he helps break him out. Cobra gets out, puts on his mask, puts on Astro Cobra Commander suit for a fucking change. And he looks at Destro and inside the thing, he says, you're out the band, and walks off. It's all dramatic.
Does he have, like, the high-pitched voice?
It's a mixture of Vader trying to... It's like Cobra Commander doing an impersonation of Vader.
Vader from wrestling or Darth Vader?
Darth Vader.
So it's not Cobra time, then?
So, that's how he breaks out. So that's how you do Storm Shadow's back. But his back gets burnt up in the situation. So he has to be healed. So he has to go to this special place somewhere where there's mountains and shit for them to put like some kind of remedy on his back to heal him. So we finally get to Snake Eyes. He's training with Jinx, and like Blind Master's like, well, you need to bring back Storm Shadow, you know, because he has to pay for what he's done. They go out to this mountain area, and you get the weirdest kind of drive thing. Like, they do it for a brief second, but I imagine it's really weird. They're driving some kind of off-road vehicle to get to this place. You can tell it's a long, long drive, probably. Imagine Jinx being in a car with Snake Eyes just driving, not saying anything.
Well, he can't say anything.
Yeah, but just imagine it. Imagine just, like, just riding with him in silence.
Yeah, hey, man, can I turn on the radio or something?
It's just weird to me.
You know what? Just nod if I can.
It's just weird for me. Fucking the other three Joes are, like, wandering around like assholes, not really knowing what to do. But once they find that supercomputer in the hood, they, in, like, The Rock's old neighborhood, you know, and they realize maybe the president might not be who he thinks he is.
I hear they reference Roadblock running a restaurant.
I can remember that.
Does he rhyme?
No. Damn. He does not. But,
does he talk about his cousin?
You'd be his cousin.
Heavy Duty?
No, he's just a regular guy.
Oh, because in the first one, what's his name? Complicated name?
I forgot.
He was in Oz as Adebisi, and he was in Lost as Mr. Echo. Anyways, he played Heavy Duty.
Yeah.
And that's Roadblock's cousin.
No, he doesn't mention him. His cousin in the movie is, like, D-Ray.
So just his regular family?
Yeah, regular-ass family.
Not his Joe family?
Yeah. So, basically, they have to bring it to this, like, little convention to get some DNA strands of hair from the president. And so they see Lady Jane. She's wearing a tight dress. And when she gets there, one guy tells her she's not on the list. And one of the security guards tell her, like, well, you are on the list. You can come in. He lets her in. And then he, like, does some research on her and finds out she's a G.I. Joe. Mm-hmm. So, I'm like, he basically let her in the party and then, like, told everybody that G.I. Joe's at the party.
Well, maybe he thought he was setting her up to die.
Well, it's, I don't know what it was, but he could just not let her in the party because that way she got a hair sample and followed the president who wasn't the president. So,
did Lady J have her, like, crossbow gun?
No, she had a sniper that shot bullets to... Well, anyway.
Should I just give up about, like, stuff related to the cartoon and comic? Because I feel like everything I'm mentioning is, like, not there.
Yes, you should. You should totally do it. But then, like, you know, so basically she finds... She gets the DNA sample because the fucking bodyguard was terrible and let her in. Because he's a terrible bodyguard. He just ruined all their plans.
Is he so worse than Max Payne?
I think Max Payne was drunk. This guy was full... Straight up sober.
Yeah, but Max Payne got drunk on a boat, woke up, everyone he was supposed to be guarding was dead and gone and shit.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, to move on from that. Yeah, so she goes back. She's hanging out with Flint, who doesn't like to drop the movie. It has a little sexy scene of her undressing. And he's just kind of watching from afar. Mm-hmm. And it's just creepy. There's a lot of trying to sell me on she's hot. There's a lot of trying to sell me on this is awesome because of the action scenes and stuff.
Does Roadblock bring up pork chop sandwiches?
No.
Fuck.
Nothing really happens. But you go back to the ninjas. Ninja shit's happening. Storm Shadow and fucking Snake Eyes are fighting. You're like, why don't they just make the whole movie about them? They're totally awesome. Storm Shadow, Storm Ninja Stars, Snake Eyes shooting it with a gun.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's pretty awesome to get to a big aerial
fight. Is it his handgun?
It's like a semi-automatic.
God damn it. Give him his... Jesus. I feel like I'm ready to give up on, like, referencing the comic.
He does use a handgun a couple of times.
Well, he has, like, the sword and handgun combo is his deal.
He does do it sometimes. Like, he does bring it out. But then he has some automatic weapon when it happens. And he starts shooting it. It was pretty cool. Cool scene, that. Cool, like, fight scenes and all. They fight and knock out Storm Shadow with some gas. And they kidnap him. They have, like, this big ninja fight on the side of a mountain. Mm. In which they're just throwing, like, Storm Shadow's body in a body bag. And just, like, grappling on the shit. And they're sliding around. It's very impossible for that kind of shit to happen. But who gives a fuck? It's ninjas fighting. It's awesome.
And plus, from what it sounds like, you're just hoping for anything to happen at all.
Yeah, because the Joes actually kind of stumbling around not really do shit for a long period of time. So I'm fine with, like, this crazy stuff happening. So they go to get Bruce Willis because Bruce Willis has nothing else to do.
Because Die Hard wasn't a good film.
Die Hard wasn't a good film. And it's actually a better Bruce Willis movie than Die Hard. Because even though he doesn't really do nothing, he just kind of shows up. He's still just being just Bruce with a big ass gun standing in a spot blasting.
Yeah, but it sounds like Bruno the Kid was a better Bruce Willis thing than fucking Die Hard.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. Hearing about Bruce Willis from other people is a better movie than actually seeing him after that movie. So anyway, Bruce Willis has a bunch of guns and shit. He tries to help them out, and they eventually, after Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes storylines wrapped up, which he catches. Storm Shadow brings him back to the Blind Master. And it's revealed that Zartan was the one that killed their master in disguise, like, to get Storm Shadow to, like, work for them and all. They team up. They decide, well, we're not no longer enemies, but we're no longer friends either. We're going to work together to stop Cobra and kill Zartan.
Do they reveal their tattoos?
No.
The, like, red line tattoos that they have?
No. It's on his swords.
Well, yeah, I guess I remember that.
Yeah, so it's under storage or whatever. So, now they got Storm Shadow on the Joe side. So now we only have, like, fucking... Because Deathstroke's not really in the movie. Mm. So now we have, like, Cobra Commander and, you know, Firefly.
That's lame.
Yeah, you're not really anyone else. So, that was a little convention where all the different world leaders get together. And Zartan tells them he wants everyone to get rid of their nuclear weapons. And no one wants to do it, so he launches his missiles. And so everyone else launches their missiles, because that's what you do. Right?
Because we all act irrationally.
But. Yeah, so the whole world launches their missiles, right? And then, like, Zartan's like, well, I launched mine, I hate to self-destruct on them, you should just self-destruct on yours, too. So he hits his, and they blow up, so everyone starts blowing up their missiles, too. To stop the world from being destroyed, which they should have thought about in the first fucking place.
Wait, so, hold on, they're nuclear missiles?
Nuclear missiles.
So wouldn't there be fallout, like, raining from the sky?
It should be, but it's not.
All right.
So Zartan's like, now you don't have, no one has nuclear missiles or any kind of weapons like that. We have satellites in outer space. Oh, big fucking satellites in outer space. And we shoot down little missile things that just level like fucking cities. Well, see? It just shoots one down anyway. And levels a fucking city, just destroys everything. That was pretty cool. It looked really cool. But it's like, now you guys have no nuclear weapons. No one has weapons except us. I want full control over the entire fucking world, basically. The Cobra comes out all boss-like with a strut going on.
Is he wearing a cape?
No, but he has a cool like little breastpiece cover. Mm. You know what I'm talking about? How he, like, his suit like folds over.
Yeah.
Napoleon kind of like.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the cartoon.
Yeah, basically he has that. He looks awesome, and he's like basically saying he wants to own the world and shit, which is what he wants to do. And
does he tell him he was a man?
No, nothing. Nothing like that. He's one dimensional.
Or what is it, Once a Man? That's a reference to the G.I. Joe movie. The cartoon movie.
Yeah. But he's just one dimensional. And then fucking the Joes pop in and start fucking shooting everybody and blowing up stuff. Because they went to Bruce Willis, well, General Joe's.
General Joe's chicken?
They went to General Joe's pad, in which he has like fucking
duck sauce.
He has guns everywhere. He has guns in the stove, which makes me wonder how the fuck he cooks. He has guns
take out.
He has guns like in all the walls. It's supposed to be like over excessive. Also, they do the whole thing where they pour down all the dog tats on the table, and Joe picks up the only one he recognizes, Duke.
Jeez.
So they don't name drop any other Joes, just because you're wondering.
I was hoping for it.
No, nothing. So anyway, not at the end of the movie, big gun battle happens. They fight. Firefly gets to a fight with Roadblock, which is pretty cool. Close quarters, shooting the gun in Jitter's faces, but missing, kind of choreography we've seen before.
In classic G.I. Joe fashion, they're missing each other with the bullets.
Yeah, but it, you know, it's pretty cool. The fight was cool. Firefly gets blown up. Everyone else basically dies. Cobra Commander gets away in a helicopter.
Is he like, next time?
No. But basically, though, at the end of the day, there were action scenes, and that's all I can say about the movie. I don't know if I like this movie or not. I didn't hate it. It was better than the first one, but there's not enough going on that made me really want to just, you know, like, I never felt bored,
mm-hmm.
but I never felt like anything was happening I really wanted to happen. And I realized during the middle of the movie, this movie would have worked far better. A G.I. Joe movie would have worked far better if it would have just been a parody of the cartoon.
Yeah, I feel like that would have been fun.
Like, Cobra tried to come up with a plan. He says he has a brand new plan. They're like, oh, you're not going to try to control the weather, are you?
The weather dominator.
He's like, no, that's not my plan. And do you see him delete
nice.
It? Nice. Delete, like, the files on his fucking computer. Weather dominator.
He goes over to the dreadnoughts. Delete this.
See, like, it would have had, like, callbacks from the cartoon, but would have been funny. It would have been a better film. With Channing Tatum at the beginning playing his 21 Jump Street character.
You're kind of into him?
Yeah, you like him. You kind of want him to stay around before everything else gets boring. It's not a good movie. I can't defend this movie. I really want to defend it, but it's just not a good movie. I want to give it a 3. Because it wasn't a bad movie. It just didn't make any sense.
I can see that. 3 is right in the middle.
Yeah, so it's not bad. It just didn't make any sense. It was a better movie than the first one. It was fun to watch. Stuff got blown up.
Yeah, I guess like when I think G.I. Joe, that's all you can really ask for.
Yeah, so it's not a shitty movie. It's just,
as long as they don't go to Cobra Law or anything like that.
Yeah, you just don't really flesh out any of the characters.
Or Bazooka Sees a Sea Serpent.
Yeah. I feel like the only character we knew they killed off, and then they just like, you're just left with a whole new cast of different people.
Well, maybe the only character you know was killed off.
I'm not talking about in the comic book or like cartoon continuity. I'm talking about in film continuity.
Snake Eyes.
Oh yeah, Snake Eyes is there, but he doesn't even say anything.
Storm. Well, he's not going to.
Yeah, they have a cool moment in which like Roblox telling a plan, and he looks over. He's like, "Right, Snake Eyes." And Snake Eyes looks at him. He was like, "That's right." he doesn't even nod. He just looks at him. He just like gets it. They also have another exchange that was pretty cool, which they ran into Snake Eyes for the first time in the movie, which is basically at the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. And The Rock points a gun at Snake Eyes' face. It says, "You're getting old, Snake Eyes." And then Snake looks down. You see he's pointing right at his nuts with a gun.
That's fucked up. Yeah.
It's not cool moments like that. Snake Eyes makes the movie. Basically, the ninja shit makes the movie.
So if there was no ninja shit, like let's say they were like, "We're going to kill off one of the main characters," and it's Snake Eyes in the first 5 minutes.
I would fucking hate that movie. I mean, it's like, if you really take away the whole ninja thing and just deal with the Joes, they do two missions at the beginning. The first mission is kind of like a whatever mission. The second mission...
They take on Croc Master?
Yeah, no, they just secure some nuclear warheads.
They fight Big Boa?
Nothing like that. You're asking for too much. You're asking for an actual fucking G.I. Joe movie. But the two missions at the beginning, I felt like they were added in to get Channing Tatum to do stuff.
Do you think that's what they went back and filmed? Like, can you feel the difference of what they filmed at first and what they filmed later?
I really do feel like they killed him off immediately. And they had to film... Because they still do kill him off immediately. He's not in the movie that long at all. But if they had to film more stuff to add him in, they must have really just killed him off immediately in the film. Like one of the first things they did. Because it's not that long that he's in the film. But they put him in there long enough for you to see that him and Roadblock have some kind of friendship or relationship together. And to throw in some funny moments with him before they just do him in. I think that hurt the film, because I felt like they wanted to really give a middle finger to the original. But getting rid of an actor who could have brought so much to the movie and based the whole purpose of the movie around his death, they're really trying to get revenge, especially for Duke. Mm-hmm. And I think it hurts, because now they can't actually work him back into the film.
Do you think they really retaliated well enough?
Nah, they kind of didn't do anything to the end of the movie. They had a couple of minor fights, minor action scenes. But the Snake Eyes, Storm Shadow storyline had nothing to do with the main plot.
And it was the only part you cared about?
Yeah.
Was the effects good? Because in the trailer where they show Bruce Willis in the back of that car,
yeah,
it looks fake as fuck.
That happens too fast. What it actually does happen is not slow motion like that.
Oh, so you don't, your eye doesn't have time to like pick it apart?
Yeah, can't really pick it apart. And Lady Jane serves no purpose. I mean, if you really look at the actress, I'm not trying to be a dick, but if you put a skinny chick with no ass in front of me with breasts that aren't the same size, I'm not going
to... What? Like they're not the same size to each other? Or?
If you really look at it at certain times, you can kind of looks like her breasts aren't the same size.
That's weird.
It happens.
I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible to happen, but it's weird natural that you noticed, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Well, they're putting tits in front of me to look at. And I'm like, I might as well look at them since I'm here and they're not doing anything with her.
Since I'm here.
And like, these aren't even good tits. So yeah, the movie ends with Cobra got away. They're going to make another one, basically, what they did.
I feel like I'm not opposed. Like, I didn't see the movie, but I feel like I'm not opposed to them making another one if they give me nothing but stupid, action.
I'm not opposed to it. In fact, I wouldn't mind seeing another one.
I just don't want to see Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow on the same side. And I feel like because G.I. Joe has so many colorful characters, you could get away with not having Duke around.
Yeah.
Because in the cartoon movie, G.I. Joe the movie,
yeah,
which has one of the best opening songs of all G.I. Joe, their original plan was to kill off Duke. When Serpentor throws a snake at him, which sounds stupid as fuck.
Ah, snake!
It is. He takes it off his back and straightens it out.
Yeah, he does. I remember he impales people with snakes, doesn't he?
Which is dumb. But, Duke gets killed, and then off camera you hear somebody go, "Duke's gonna be alright."
Well, I don't mind him killing off Duke, but the problem with it is Nani brought Channing Tatum back off of 21 Jump Street and made him more of an interesting character in the movie to lead into, no more interesting characters.
Well, like I said, I feel like G.I. Joe has so many characters in
it. No, I mean this particular movie, though.
Oh, well, I'm talking about the future sequel.
In the future, they can do totally better, but in this particular film, Flint is not funny, he's not entertaining. I think it was supposed to have been, Channing Tatum was nice to look at. Now he's gone. Here's another guy who's nice to look at. But then, because after we filmed, now it's like, Channing Tatum's brilliant, he's funny. Now look at this guy.
Like, look at this average Joe, you might say.
So I just didn't really feel that. I really liked the change in it, and it just didn't work. It didn't flow well. I think like trying to add him back in the movie really hurt it some. But I think either way, it would have been a boring affair without ninjas.
So do you think they should have gone back and just made the movie more about the ninja shit?
The ninjas needed an actual good story. The story wasn't good.
Did Jinx do anything like worth being around?
She spars with Snake Eyes.
Do you learn anything about her?
No.
I mean, I don't know what to say after that. It's like, well, I guess I'm done.
I think she's like Storm Shadow's cousin. Right? Or
I don't think so.
Or Snake Eyes. They say she's somebody's cousin.
Is she?
Yeah, in the movie. They drop it for no reason. Like it's like done by the RZA. He's like, Jinx, such and such cousin. And then he says something else. Like just like that.
It's like being in a movie where they're like, you, Marty McFly, don't go back to the future.
Basically, it's like that. So, kind of that vibe going on. You never get a good feel for who she is. She's just some chick that Snake Eyes has to hang out with.
I don't think Cobra likes your review very much. He's got the weather dominator going on after it.
But yeah, I didn't really care for some of the stuff they did in the movie. I felt it was too boring. The Joes kind of like sitting on their asses, like not really doing. Well, they're not sitting around. They're like on their thumbs, not really doing anything.
It doesn't help that you only have three fucking Joes. I mean,
you only have three Joes, and they're basically preparing for the end of the movie. Is what they're doing.
I feel like this story's fine because it'll get rid of the kind of everything about the first one.
Yeah,
where they all wear the same kind of black uniform, and you know, you got stupid characters doing stupid shit.
I prefer the way they look in this movie because they do feel like a regular SEAL team.
Do they just wear whatever? Like, doesn't Roadblock still wear his, like, vest type shit?
He wears, like, some kind of vest, like, thing, but he's wearing, like, the military colors. Everyone's wearing military colors.
I mean, well, Duke wears kind of a military shit.
Yeah, so basically, it's like a regular military with a little bit more leeway.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how the cartoon and toys were. And, I just feel like they're colorful characters that stand out from one another.
I feel like it'd be funner to be on Cobra's side. You could wear more stuff.
Well, not if you're Firefly. He's sort of wearing military camo.
He's sort of wearing military camo, but he does wear like black, like a black jacket or something. He wears some different stuff where it doesn't feel like 100% military, but it's still pretty cool.
I feel like that's also a problem. If the bad guys are only Zartan, who isn't really going to do much, who's not going to do much.
Yeah.
You're only left with Firefly, who can only do so much. Like,
that's another problem they had. His beef was with Roadblock, which they didn't have really, really personal beef. It's more or less because of what happened. Because fucking Firefly is behind a big attack.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but it's like you literally have one villain to fight against. Like, maybe physically fight against.
Yeah.
Besides no-name guys.
Let's say he was brilliant. I mean, because Storm Shadow had his stuff going on. But he was mostly just, besides pulling ninja stars out of nowhere, he was mostly just fighting
Snake Eyes,
and then they decide we shouldn't fight. And he joined Cobra again.
How does Snake Eyes talk sense into somebody?
Oh, when, I think I told you they knock out Storm Shadow.
Yeah.
And they bring him back to like Blind Master. Blind Master says he killed his higher master. So I guess it's like... I think they touched on that in the first movie, right?
I don't know. I
can't remember that when Storm Shadow was a kid, they killed their master. Probably out of jealousy. I can't remember quite. But supposedly he killed his master out of jealousy over Snake Eyes. And Storm Shadow's like, well, is this a sword that killed our master? Was it supposed to be my sword? Well, it's not. And like he fucking like breaks free. And like swings at Snake Eyes, who hits it with his sword and shatters that sword. He's like, this is not my real sword. Someone framed me. So basically, he never did it. He's like, someone ruined my life. Who would ruin my life like that? And he looks at Snake Eyes, and Snake Eyes, I guess, looks back at him.
He shrugs.
Because you can't really tell because he's, you know, visor and shit, right?
Yeah.
And then like he's like, they look at each other. And then Storm Shadow's like, it was Zartan. And it flashed back to Zartan being in makeup and shit, and like because back, you know, he couldn't change his face like with the nanotechnology he has now.
Yeah.
But he has makeup and shit, and he like takes it off after he kills like, the master. Like immediately, he stabs him, just starts taking off the makeup. Like in a little flashback. So that's the reason why Storm Shadow teams up with the Joes. But he kind of works his way into like with Cobra. At the end of the movie, he's like hanging out with Cobra when they do the whole missile launch and let's like fucking drop a missile from a satellite to destroy a place for no reason. Just to show we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
After an entire city is leveled, that's when the Joes start like attacking. Try to save the day.
You know what? Now we're angry.
And like they waited long enough. And that's when Storm Shadow starts like showing that he's actually on the Joe's side helping them. So when everything ends, you know, him and Snake Eyes had a little exchange of like, you can tell they respect each other, and but they're not friends, mm-hmm. but they're not enemies. And like he just goes about his business. So if they make another one, without that ninja shit happening, I don't know.
Let's say they do make another one without the ninja shit, would you be excited at all to see it?
No, unless they really come with the characters.
It's like Law and Order is going to be around in barbecue. You're going to be like, oh, I got to see this shit. Beachhead.
Yeah,
Chuckles. The Fridge. I thought I heard something. Okay, what if they recast somebody as The Fridge? Like, let's say they get Emmett Smith to be in the movie.
I'd be fine with that. I wonder why Sergeant Slaughter's not in this fucking movie.
Because he's old and fat. I feel like Sergeant Slaughter should be like...
a cameo.
Yeah, like he doesn't have to put on the hat and be like, come on, pukes. Like he could just be like...
he could be a desk guy.
Yeah.
He could be like retired from that. He says some crazy shit like, I've been retired since the 80s.
Yeah, there you go. I like that.
Yeah, look, but they didn't because they're not making a G.I. Joe movie. If I had a choice, I had to actually watch either G.I. Joe Retaliation and Temptation. G.I. Joe is fine. Well, that's all the time we have for today's show. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Check us out on iTunes. Rate and review us. Subscribe to us. We also have a blog at blogspot.com. Check us out. I'm Notorious J.I.M.
And I'm Julian.
And I bid you a good day.